Sunday Surefire Podcast. I'm your host, the Commish. Joining me today is the co-host, Aaron Downtown Brown.
Hey, hey.
And the other co-host, Ethan Weaver.
How we doing?
We're doing pretty good. We have week 11 upon us here. We are talking DFS, daily fantasy football here, week 11 in the NFL. We are going to talk to you about what went right for us last week. We're going to go over which players you should be bullish on this week that are really expensive. We are going to cover players that are you can kind of cheap out on a little bit, get those lower dollar players in your lineup. They're going to crush this week, regardless of their cheap price point. Talking defenses, hot takes, Thursday night football, the whole shebang here as usual. Before we dive into any of that here, let's just kind of rewind a little bit, and we'll talk about the told you so's that we have from last week.
You like that? You like that?
And we'll start with you, Ethan, as our winner last week on both Thursday and the main slate. Why don't you go ahead and hit me with what you got right in week 10?
I'm on a little bit of a hot streak in our friendly competition between us three, so I'm looking to keep that rolling, but Amon-Ra St. Brown helped me win last week. My hot take was that he was going to have 8 or more receptions for 125 yards and a touchdown. Maybe it wasn't hot enough because he easily surpassed that. He had the 8 receptions, but he had 156 yards and a touchdown, scoring 33.5 points. So Amon-Ra St. Brown was a big reason to my victory between us three last week, and was a big reason well, I had a decent total in DFS week 10. And then my other I told you so was Najee Harris. I know me and the commish were debating between Jalen Warren and Najee Harris. I'm sure the commish is going to be talking about his guy pretty soon here. But at $4,900, Najee Harris scored 18.6 points. He had 82 rushing yards and a touchdown. And then 3 for 14 through the air. But Najee, just a solid performance. He's been actually putting solid performance after solid performance over the past 4 weeks. So I was happy to see that come through. So Amon-Ra St. Brown and Najee Harris were definitely two players that helped me put up a decent performance in week 10.
I'll jump in here. I got two of my own. I know you guys graciously were able to see my picks. Wasn't able to make the show last week, a little under the weather, but did call out, also had St. Brown in my lineup as well. So, you know, we were in lockstep there. So as you said, definitely glad to see that come through. He's kind of a reception king. And if you can compile the yards with it and the touchdown, yeah, 33 points in your lineup, definitely handy. I think my biggest claim to fame from last week was just calling out TJ Hockenson. He just had a pretty monstrous tight end week of last week as well. It was only 5,000 to put in your lineup, but him and Dobbs, that connection did pan out pretty well. He did pull in 11 grabs, 134 yards with the TD as well. So another 33 points if you had Hockenson and St. Brown in your lineup. Just those two alone gave you 66. So those are my two told you so's from last week for me.
Yeah, St. Brown and Hockenson were both great calls on both of your parts. I did some further research after our episode last week into those guys and said, you know what? I like those calls so much, I'm going to put a little bit of money on their over props on both of them. Both of them hit relatively easily, which was awesome. Good way to put some money in your pocket going into the weekend. But that was fun, and if you were a member of our Discord channel, you would have seen those prop bets listed in there. Make sure you're joining our Discord. Check it out on all of our social media platforms, whether it's Instagram. We're on X at Sunday_Surefire on Facebook as well. Those links are all up there to our Discord chat. 100% free to join, so make sure you're checking out that. Getting part of a great community that we have on there where we're talking football 24/7, which is great. A couple of my told you shows quickly from week 10. I had Brock Purdy, cost $5,700, returned 23 fantasy points. Jalen Warren, as Ethan mentioned, that was kind of a fun little impromptu conversation we had regarding the Steelers' backfield. Warren cost $5,000. He returned 22 fantasy points. They were pretty even in snaps and touches on the day. And we kind of said, oh, well, it's kind of going to depend on who finds the end zone. And they both ended up finding the end zone. I'll say Warren edged out Najee ever so slightly by a couple of points, but at the end of the day, we were both right on that one, which was great. And Ethan forgot one of his own told you shows, I believe, from Thursday night. If you go way back, he and I both agreed on Deonta Foreman in our captain slot. It was $12,900. He returned 25.8 fantasy points, so not the 3X mark that we like to aim for, but it was a low scoring contest, the Bears and Panthers game, that is. He ended up actually being the leading scorer with that mark in your captain slot. So that was a great call out for both of us last week on the show. And so make sure that you're sticking with us through the entirety of this episode when we get to the Thursday night lineup. You don't want to miss any opportunities to make money. We're all about putting money in the pockets of our listeners here at Sunday Surefire. So make sure you're staying tuned and winning some money this Thursday. But let's put a bow on the Week 10 conversation, and let's move forward here. Let's talk about the main slate here. We're talking bullish buys here. These are, again, the high-profile players that you are paying up big time to get into your lineup because they are absolutely going to crush this week. And these prices that we're giving you are what you're going to pay on DraftKings specifically. If you're using FanDuel or any other sites out there, that's perfectly fine. Just know the values may fluctuate a little bit, but that's enough pleasantries here. Ethan, we'll go back to you, my man. Who is your bullish buy for week 11?
Considering I won the last 2 weeks, Kamish, I just wanted to give you a chance to pat yourself on the back a little more. So I let you talk about Foreman. So you're welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So, it's so like you to give others the opportunity to pat themselves on the back. So just the type of guy you are.
Just a generous guy. But my bullish buy here, I am going to stick with my guy, a guy we've talked about a ton on this show. And I'm going to go Brandon Ayuk at 7,200. Brandon Ayuk, he started off the game hot last week with a touchdown right off the rip, a really nice catch in the back of the end zone. And I believe he only had 3 receptions the entire game, only 4 targets. But that game was an absolute just nightmare for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The 49ers didn't really have to do a ton passing the ball late in that game. And I'm not worried at all about Brandon Ayuk going forward. And I think he comes into a very good matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have allowed the 3rd most passing yards this season. Brandon Ayuk, I'm just going to keep beating the drum for him. He's number 2 in yards per route run this year, number 1 in air yard share, number 3 in fantasy points per route run. And he's number 12 in overall target share. He's just, in my opinion, moving into elite territory in terms of just an NFL receiver, and we're hoping that he can become an elite fantasy producer. He's been very consistent this year, and I think he has a big game at home against Tampa Bay. I'm hoping Tampa can put up some points against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Against the San Francisco 49ers defense. I know Trevor Lawrence just struggled against them, but the Niners were struggling as of late defensively, but it looks like they woke up against the Jaguars. But I'm very high on Brandon Ayuk this week, and he's a good player, and I like betting on good players. So my bullish buy this week is Brandon Ayuk.
I'm a fellow Brandon Ayuk fan over here, so I'm not going to really add too much to that. I think a lot of our loyal listeners know by now that I also love Brandon Ayuk, and I love putting him in my lineup just about every single week. But Aaron, typically you're not the guy who's so much in love with Ayuk, so I'll let you react to this one. Where are you at on Ayuk for week 11 specifically?
No, I like it. Especially matching him against Tampa Bay. I think if you kind of divert the conversation a little bit to Tampa's run defense, as we know, I mean, we're probably going on 4 or 5 years running where that run defense has been pretty stout. So I think out of many teams in the NFL, they're one of the defenses that can, they got enough athleticism and strength that can at times stop CMC in his tracks, right? So out of all those teams, I think what that usually opens up is their secondary. That secondary does give up a lot of passing yards through the air. So I love it matchup-wise, especially against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hopefully they can score against San Francisco's defense, just looking into that further. Or if they can't, hopefully Ayuk gets involved very early and scores a first half touchdown is what I'll say there. But I do like to call. I think it's a good scenario to get some yards through the air. That's what a lot of times those offenses will have to do against Tampa Bay. But with that being said, I guess I'll move on to my bullish buy here. And I'm going a little bit cheaper this week. I kind of like when we throw these out in the air every now and then. Hopefully it hits as you guys comment on this guy. But this week I'm actually going 6,600. I'm going to keep rolling with the trend we've done recently with getting a running back against that Carolina defense. I'm going Tony Pollard this week as my bullish buy. So pretty cheap price for Tony Pollard. I know he hasn't had that fantasy season we're all kind of hoping for. I don't know if he goes to the casino, if he plays roulette, but I would say he's pretty unlucky in that roulette Dallas Cowboy scoring wheel. but I think with that being said, I think running backs in fantasy have fared pretty well against that Carolina run defense. Dallas is favored over 10.5 points. So it's another time, I think, just a good matchup to get ahead on them and score some points. And then they'll maybe if starters do get taken out, I do hope that they start slowing it down before they pull that trigger and then just resort to the running game. So my bullish buy this week is going to be Tony Pollard for only 6,600.
Ethan, is this the week that Tony Pollard finally turns it around and gives fantasy managers that drafted him early in drafts the reward that they're looking for?
I think so. I completely agree with Aaron. I actually was debating to talk about Brandon Ayuk or Tony Pollard. I ended up going with Brandon Ayuk just because I think he is just a ton of upside. I know Pollard does too, but Pollard's just been absolutely just bad considering where you had to draft him in redraft leagues this year. But it is funny because Tony Pollard is in my lineup, and I was very, very close to talking about him on this podcast tonight. And I do think he kind of rights the ship. He hasn't scored since week one. And unfortunately, Rico Dowdle, he had more rushing yards than Pollard last week. And he found pay dirt, which Pollard hasn't done in a while, like I just said. So I think this is a good opportunity to get Tony Pollard cooking again. They need to get him going if they want to make a push in the playoffs. And I think this is the week to do it. So I really, really like the call as he is in my lineup as well.
I do like Pollard this week as well. I do have some further thoughts on that game down the line, so I'll reserve my thoughts on their running back situation until a little bit further into the show here. And I'll give you my bullish buys. I'm going to give you two names in this category. Every now and again, I do this, but so here I go. The first one I'll touch on quickly, that's Austin Eckler at Green Bay for $8,600. You know, he doesn't need a big sell job, of course. He gets it done both on the ground and through the air. Yeah, he scored 4 touchdowns in his last 3 games, essentially just a game script proof running back in a matchup against a team that's allowed the 7th most fantasy points to opposing running backs. I mean, if you have any quick points on Eckler, I'll let you guys go to those now, and then I'll move on to my second guy here quickly.
I'm in favor of Eckler. I think in DFS, whenever if you can afford him, it's usually never hurts to get him in your lineup. So it's usually that price tag you got to worry about. But do like the Eckler call as well.
Agree. If you can afford Eckler in your lineup, it's almost a no-brainer. I just went a cheaper route with my running back position just because the running back position in general has been so just hit or miss this year and kind of just blah. So I tend to like to spend up at receiver, which has tended to work out for me just because the upside at the position compared to what the running backs have given us. But Eckler's one of those running backs that's usually very, very consistent. So I do not mind at all getting him into our lineups.
Well, this week I'm actually going the opposite of that. I'm going expensive at both of my starting running back spots, and I'm going to go to a guy who's been absolutely crushing it the last few weeks. That's Jahmyr Gibbs. He's playing against the Chicago Bears at a cost of $7,000. And like I said, he's been absolutely on a tear since returning from an injury in week 7. Over that time frame, he's averaging a ridiculous 27.9 full PPR points per game. That's good for RB1 overall in the league during that time frame on a per game basis. And the second reason I like him so much is the matchup itself. At a first glance, the Chicago Bears, they're kind of an average unit in terms of points allowed to the running back position. But if you dive a little bit deeper, they actually have the best yards per carry rate allowed in the league, giving up just 3.2 yards per touch on the ground. And so you think, like, okay, why do you want to start a running back against that tough front? Well, the reason, of course, for that is because the Bears give up a ton of fantasy points through the air to opposing running backs in the receiving game. They've allowed the third most receptions to running backs, the most receiving yards, and the most tight ends receiving, or I'm sorry, the most touchdowns in the receiving game to running backs. And this, of course, plays right into Gibbs' skill set. He's caught 17 passes for 130 yards in his last three games that he's come back from his injury. So I think this is kind of just putting all of this together where Jahmyr Gibbs crushes it through the air. He's been on a tear in his own right, and Chicago gives up a lot through the air to opposing running backs. Is why I have Jahmyr Gibbs as my second bullish buy for week 11.
Whenever you can get Jahmyr Gibbs in your lineup, it's probably a good thing, as you alluded to. He's been on an absolute tear. I actually think both running backs do well in this game. I know Chicago's been very good against the run. I just think Montgomery, a little revenge game going against his old team here. And I think, and I know we talked about this offline, divisional games usually closer than we'd expect them to be. But I do think the Detroit Lions win this by two scores. And I think Montgomery gets his work on the ground. I see probably more of a split. I just don't think, if you're Detroit, you have playoff and Super Bowl aspirations. I don't think there's a point to run Jahmyr Gibbs into the ground, and I don't think the game script is going to lend to a ton of targets, but hopefully he gets going in that first half. So I actually think both running backs have decent days, but I'm not going to argue at all with the Jahmyr Gibbs call.
Yeah, it's funny. I kind of have the same stance there. Like, I'm wondering, do we make a 2-week reoccurring theme where you had Najee and Warren both in your lineup? But it's funny. I actually have Montgomery in my lineup this week. You know, kind of thinking the same thing too. But not hating the Gibbs call. I think to Ethan's point, I think with Chicago and what Kamish alluded to, where, you know, Gibbs is going to get his PPR points too. You know, they're not going to, you know, be too risky against the Bears. So I do think he can get his dump offs and screens and whatnot. But I do think there's room for both of them to have pretty solid games. And especially just mentioning with Monty on a revenge game, I'm in favor of both running backs this week as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting little situation they have there. Really two fantasy running backs that are incredibly viable just about every week between Gibbs and Montgomery. So it's been a good back and forth. I just kind of lean into the fact that this is a division game. I think it's going to be more competitive for most of the game, at least, than maybe you guys do. I can see Detroit winning it. Maybe they win by 10 points. That actually is the spread on the game as well. So, but I think it's going to be later in the game they get there. And the Bears in their last seven contests, they've only lost the game by more than one score one time over that frame. So especially if they can get Justin Fields back in the lineup, I think we can see that line even come down a little bit on that game if he gets cleared to play for week 11. But that's an interesting one. We'll put a pin in that one, but we'll definitely be monitoring that situation. And who knows, best case scenario is maybe we're both right again on this backfield situation like we were on the Pittsburgh backfield a week ago. But let's move on to our defenses category here in our two deep segment. Last week, Ethan and I both paid out big for the Dallas Cowboys, and I actually did so again this week, going back to the well, $4,100 at the Panthers. Just really don't want to overcomplicate it here. They're a good defense playing against Bryce Young. Among quarterbacks who have started at least seven games this year, Bryce Young has been sacked the third most times on a per-game basis. He's averaging one interception per game. So just kind of put that together, a struggling young quarterback on a bad football team going up against a solid defensive unit. Just go ahead and lay the $4,100 out for the Cowboys this week, and I don't think you're going to regret that at all.
I don't think you're going to regret it at all either. The matchup is obviously a perfect scenario for the Dallas Cowboys, and I think hopefully they can have a better performance against the Panthers than they did against the New York Giants in terms of fantasy points. Obviously, they only scored 8 points last week, which is a little disappointing considering me and Kamish were very, very high on them, and we paid up, and we were hoping for a little more than 8 points, but I can't argue with the call at all. When it comes to defense and DFS, as Kamish said, I like to target struggling offenses, young struggling quarterbacks who are prone to turnovers, and that's what the Carolina Panthers and Bryce Young just are.
Aaron, are we making it a clean sweep here, my man?
We're actually not. It's going to be a funny two-week reoccurring theme here where you guys have the Cowboys defense. Not going to hate it. Obviously, you can't argue with having solid defenses in your lineup. And I do think it's funny, like Ethan and I were talking, how did the Cowboys not score more on defense? I think there's a little more garbage. But I think to your point, I think the Panthers are still like actively trying to figure out Bryce Young. So they're still trying to, you know, run their full playbook and whatnot, which is kind of a exposing some of those mistakes and whatnot, as you said. So I think another week where turnovers can happen. But I'm not going way off route, and I'm actually going with one of the best defensive units in the league as well this week. But actually a little bit cheaper. I'm going with the Cleveland Browns for $3,700 playing against Pittsburgh. So playing against another young quarterback, pretty low spread, that Cleveland-Pittsburgh game. It is also in Cleveland, so I know that that city just, you know, will have another rocking home field coming off that huge win against the Ravens. That spread is only 36 points. Cleveland's top three in sacks in the league too, with being at 30, nine picks and six forced fumbles. They're averaging over 10 points a week too. So I know they start off the year extremely strong on defense. I think Ravens overtook them just in just NFL statistical defensive points. But according to fantasy still, Cleveland's a pretty high scoring defensive unit. So, you know, getting, and whenever you got Myles Garrett back there, you can at least guarantee yourself a little bit of disruption with sacks. So I'm actually going not too far off you guys, but I'm going with the Cleveland defense for $3,700.
Ethan, what do you think about the dog pound in Cleveland on defense this week?
I mean, it's hard to argue against one of the league's best defenses. It's a divisional game. I think it's going to be close. They only scored 7 fantasy points the last time they played the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh. I mean, Kenny Pickett hasn't thrown a pick in 5 games. They're very conservative on offense. They run the ball. They've been running the ball very well with Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. So I just think in this matchup, you're going to need Kenny Pickett to struggle and throw some picks and get sacked quite a bit. So it's – I don't hate the call at all, just because you're betting on the talent of the Cleveland Browns, but I can see it working out for you. But actually, I didn't mean to confuse you guys. I actually didn't go with the Dallas Cowboys. I agreed with Kamish that the Dallas Cowboys was a great call, but I actually didn't go with them.
So you're already making a mistake disagreeing with me. But okay, go ahead. Let us know.
We're split
defense.
Up. Huh?
I can let the Kamish comment on the Cleveland Browns. Then I can get into mine if you want, Kamish.
Sure. I mean, the quick version of it is like there's nothing wrong with going with the talented defense, like Ethan said. I'll say be a little more confident. Ethan is being and saying that I don't really love it for that exact reason that he said. I don't really think that Pittsburgh likes to do a ton on offense, and I'm not overly confident on the Browns doing a ton to the Pittsburgh defense and making this a high scoring affair to the point where Pittsburgh has to come out of their game plan of running the ball and the kind of the quick passing game to Deontay Johnson that they like to do under offensive coordinator Matt Canada. So I'll just say for the price point, I don't love it, but obviously you're going with the defensive talent and it could work out for you. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I will be on the other side of the fence this weekend.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like me and the commish have been against Aaron's defensive picks the last couple of weeks, but his Bengals only scored 2 less points than our Cowboys last week. So
that's right.
So that was actually a pretty decent call by Aaron last week. So maybe
I'll just say quickly before you jump on yours, being a lifelong Dallas Cowboys fan for one day was miserable last week.
I mean, even though, hey, they put up 49 points.
They did, yeah. That's more than our Patriots put up in like 6 games combined nowadays. So
it may be more than their entire year combined, but that's a story for another day. We don't want to think about that game in Germany any more than we already did.
No,
but I'm actually gonna stick with the opponent, the New York Giants, I'm going to go to the Washington Commanders. I know the Commanders' defense hasn't been great the last few weeks fantasy-wise, but I'm just going to stick to the script of struggling offense, bad quarterback play, and a team that's prone to turnovers. And I just didn't really want to pay up for Dallas. I couldn't really get them into my lineup, considering the positional players I wanted to put in there. So I went with the Commanders, who are going against the 32nd ranked New York Giants in terms of points allowed to opposing defenses. I just thought the Commanders at 3,600 wasn't a bad price to have a matchup that tantalizing.
Ooh, dropping tantalizing in the defensive segment. I love it. Now, I'll jump this one over to Kamish shortly, but I guess I'll just kind of stick to my Cleveland take here. I mean, we're only $100 apart. I did kind of look at that matchup. Do I want to just attack Mr. Danny DeVito, as we said earlier?
Yeah, well, you have to attack that guy.
Yeah. I think it's good to attack those offenses with the struggling quarterbacks. But I don't know. I think with Dabo, I think, as we were saying, like, he can still put up he's still kind of a QB whisperer in a way, too, where even with the guy still living with his parents, doesn't put up a atrocious game against the Cowboys. I just don't know if Washington's gonna, come up with those, crazy plays with losing all their star players. But who knows? I mean, this is also the time of year that, you know, a lot of those bench players are trying to, attached to teams or maybe get a contract next year with another team and whatnot. So some of those guys could be playing, playing the lights out over there in Washington, kind of that next man up mentality. But I definitely looked at it, but I just paid up just an extra $100 with Cleveland this week.
Yeah, so we're all relatively expensive, I guess, on the defensive front this week. I don't have any strong opinions on the Commanders other than they lost a bunch of pieces and gave up a decent amount of points to Seattle last week. So we'll see how it pans out this week for them. But I think overall, that's enough talk on the defenses here. Let's move on to our cheaper plays here in our pick six category. And I mentioned that we were going to talk more about the Dallas Cowboys running back room in a little bit. And I'm actually going, I'm taking a little bit of a shot in the dark on this one. I'm going with Rico Dowdle. Again, at Carolina, his cost is $4,600. And he got some extended run at the end of that game against the Giants in a blowout, running for 79 yards on 12 carries. This could be a one-off thing, and this could blow up on you. But it could be a situation where they wanted to rest Pollard for the stretch run. But this also could be an eye-opener for the coaching staff watching his performance on tape. We know, like we said, Pollard has not really lived up to the hype this season that fantasy managers wanted to. But, earlier in his career, he really was at his best when he was splitting time with Ezekiel Elliott. And this could be a situation where we see Dowdle start to carve out a standalone role for himself in this offense. And even if this game doesn't really pan into a blow up spot, I think he could get that. But if it does end up being an explosion in favor of Dallas, now we could have another fourth quarter on our hands where Dowdle is again getting the rock at the end of this game to run the clock out. So I think Dowdle is kind of a sneaky tournament play where not too many people will be on him. I think Pollard's kind of the expensive choice, but maybe if this is a blowout or if Dowdle kind of gets that role to himself, the former Zeke role, then maybe he has that value at a really cheap price point and it pays off for you. So I'm taking a little bit of a risk here, but I want to know what you guys think about that, considering you both have Pollard in your lineups this week.
I actually like to call a lot. I saw Dowdle. I mean, I ended up going Pollard, so that's obviously why I didn't go Dowdle, but he did enter my mind because I think we may see a similar script as we did this week with the Cowboys-Giants game. I do think Dowdle is going to get some run. I just don't think Tony Pollard, with his workhorse usage, and he is one of the few backs, I think one of the few, like five or six backs that is getting legit workhorse usage. I think it's taken a toll on him. He's has not been as efficient as he was last year. As I said earlier, he hasn't scored since week one, and he just doesn't look like he has as much juice. And that's what happens to running backs when you get a big workload. And it's not like Tony Pollard just this massive guy. So I do see a scenario where Dowdle's getting carries in the second half against a bad Carolina Panthers team, because the Cowboys are looking to make a run. So why play Pollard deep in the second half, or why run him into the ground when you have a capable backup in Rico Dowdle? So I definitely can see Dowdle being a very sneaky play.
Yeah, it's funny. It's actually, Kamish, I know you took a stab in the dark, but I think we actually do have a clean sweep here in agreement. Like, I actually even considered throwing Pollard and Dowdle in my same line. I'm like, okay, am I getting a little too Cowboy crazy right now?
Aaron getting crazy again.
I'm like, nah. So I definitely went away from that. But, I mean, we just talked it with Gibbs and Monty and Warren and Najee. I don't know. Maybe it's a trend right now. Midseason, I mean, you do kind of see that midseason running backs that, you know, teams are picking up waiver players. You know, Fournette got picked up with the Bills as well. So this is about the time you do need to get, you know, a little bit more depth at running back. And this is like perfect time of the season to kind of bet on that. So I don't hate the call as well. So, Kamish, I think we actually are all three in agreement with Dowdle. I actually almost went crazy with throwing him and Pollard in.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys are taking the Dowdle ride. Not necessarily taking the ride with me, but you don't hate it. You see the logic. And I kind of thought that might be the case, considering you're also attacking this Panthers defense on the ground in the form of Pollard. So we'll see how Dowdle works out. I think it's an interesting spot for him to see. We'll see a little bit more of him this week, and then we'll see how he pans out in the long run. Maybe if he gets more run this week, while the game's still somewhat competitive, maybe it'll spell good things in the future. But we'll see on that front. But Ethan, who do you got for a cheap discount buy that everyone should be playing this week?
As I said earlier, I cheaped out running back, and at $5,300, I thought Devin Singletary was a good play. He's coming off a 30 carry performance for 150 yards last week against the Cincinnati Bengals. And that's a game where that game was back and forth all day, and he still received 30 carries. I don't know the status of Damian Pierce, so that's the caveat of this. But Pierce hurt his ankle. Who knows what his workload is going to be when he comes back? And with the performance of Devin Singletary, I don't know why they'd rush him back. And I don't know why Pierce would just come in and take over the RB1 role. Devin Singletary has been very good over the past few games. And I just think this is a game has an over under of 47.5, which I said is the second highest of the week. So I think Devin Singletary is going to get his opportunities. I think he's going to have his opportunities near the goal line. I do see a decent amount of points being scored. I think with Kyler Murray leading the Arizona Cardinals, I think it's going to be a potential shootout, and I want the running back in a high scoring offense against a defense that has allowed the third most rushing yards this year and are ranked 30th against opposing running backs. So that's why I'm going with Devin Singletary.
Yeah, I don't hate the call. I think Arizona's been a nice defense to kind of beat up against in the running game. So I think to your point, you know, why would they just make a mega switch even if Pierce does make a return? But even if he returns, maybe Singletary's finally done enough to kind of solidify himself a little bit more. I think in the offseason, I think Kamish brought that up, is that being a potential. So kudos. Shout out there. You know, just another, you know, more with this conversation, you know, teams just needing to do that 1-2 punch nowadays, and especially in this time of season. So don't hate the call there with Singletary.
Nor do I. I mean, Damian Pierce, like you said, Aaron, was one of my guys I was fading this offseason. And it wasn't even so much that I loved Devin Singletary, but I remember in the offseason research that he and Damian Pierce were actually back-to-back in the PFF rankings during the 2022 season at the running back spot. And I was just looking at that thinking, like, okay, like, yeah, Damian Pierce is really expensive in drafts, and Singletary is a late-round guy that you could take a flyer on. And it's taken half the season for it to get there, and obviously the Pierce injury opened the door for him. So, but I think we're at a spot now where this is a better Houston Texans offense than even I gave her credit for. Under CJ Stroud, they're producing really well. They're a top 10 scoring offense in the league. So Especially if Pierce is out, then I really like this call for that reason, because volume and a good offense at a cheap price point. Like, yeah, sign me up on Singletary this week.
Got it. All right, so I guess that leaves me with my first one, and I know we usually go highest to lowest here, and it might come as a surprise to you guys. Actually, my most expensive I'm going to talk tonight is only $3,000, so pretty low.
We're getting down and dirty.
We're mid season here. Injuries happening, and different players subbing in and out. But going with a guy, it's funny. I think we were making jokes. Last year, Ethan, in one of our fantasy leagues, I think he offered me this guy for Treylon Burks, but it's not Treylon Burks. It's going to be Kyle Phillips in Tennessee for $3,000, Tennessee at Jacksonville. So interesting thing about this is Phillips is getting exposed back into that offense. Will Levis kind of his yards through the air definitely is increased with the compared to Tannehill at the helm. Phillips just comes off of a 61-yard performance last week. And, I think, just new quarterbacks have been shown, they do favor a lot, either slot or tight end. And then speaking of tight end, Chigakonkwo has really not really lived up to his preseason hype everybody was hoping for. He's averaging only three or four receptions per week, but it's at a third of a rate, yards per catch of Kyle Phillips. So that kind of tells me that Levis is looking at Phillips and they're connecting at longer distances as well. So I think if Phillips can still have a decent 50, 60 yard game, and if he can actually even find the end zone, decent price, but scoring 9 fantasy points last week isn't we're not going to write home about it, but for $3,000, like I said, if he can continue this trend with Will Levis, I don't mind actually taking a shot in the dark this week with Mr. Phillips. But go ahead, hammer me if you want, but I kind of like the direction he's going as of late with Mr. Treylon Burks being out.
This is why I look forward to recording with Aaron Downtown Brown, because I never know what the hell he's going to come up with from week to week. So yeah, Kyle Phillips, deep dive here on him quickly. He actually has been producing somewhat with Will Levis at the Pittsburgh game. He had 10 points, 9 points last week against the Buccaneers. So this could be a case of Will Levis, because this is one of the guys that he throws to in practice the first half of the year when he's not on the field. And then Will Levis gets his chance to start, and when Kyle Phillips hits the field, then he's like, hey, this is my guy. We got a little bit of rapport compared to the starters. So, yeah, that could have something going there. The concerning thing for me with Phillips is his snap rate, and he only once this year has he played more than 35% of the snaps. So he's not out there a ton, not a full-time player. And what ideally I think Mike Vrabel would want to have a run-heavy offense behind Derrick Henry with a rookie quarterback. So you are in some ways here looking for – him to break a big play. Maybe he finds the end zone or maybe the targets keep coming. I will say the one thing in his favor, for a guy who runs a very low percentage of snaps out there, he did see 5 targets in back-to-back weeks. So his targets per route run is actually going to be a relatively strong, considering he's barely out there and he's still getting a handful of targets. So overall, it's a risky one for sure, but for $3,000, you're telling me you got to start someone for $3,000. I'll probably tell you to do just about whatever you want. So it's a risk for sure, but maybe in a deeper tournament field, this is a guy that you pop in there, and if he gets you 15 or so points, you'll look really good coming out of this one. And if it doesn't work out, of course, we'll burn the tape and never talk about it ever again, right, Ethan?
Exactly. But yeah, 2 points. One, you should have made that trade with me, because obviously Kyle Phillips is the better receiver over Treylon Burks, according to Aaron Downtown Brown.
That's right.
Two, you better have some absolute studs in your lineup if you're talking about guys 3,000 and lower. I believe you mentioned you were going to talk about another one under 3,000.
Yeah, I actually have two pretty low ones this week, but I guess to be continued here soon.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be humored pretty soon by Aaron Downtown Brown.
I don't want to wait, Aaron. Tell us who it is now.
Yes, let's do it. All right, we'll go back to back, bottom of the barrel guys. Now, it's funny. This is kind of a guy that we do recognize. He has had some pretty good fantasy performances last year and including this year, just coming off of a 14-point performance, and that's 2,900 Tyler Conklin of the New York Jets. So Tyler Conklin has quickly kind of became Zach Wilson's number two target in that Jets offense. No, it's not a, you know, high powered offense, but he does get a lot of the targets and high at a high catch rate, right? He had seven targets and he caught all seven receptions for 70 yards. So that was an easy 14 points last week. In that Jets game, they do play a tough Buffalo defense, but we have kind of seen them being pretty vulnerable at times this season. They're only 5-5 in the year. Like I spoke of earlier, they're missing Matt Milano, who actually covers the tight end when he's healthy. So he's still on IR. So my bottom of the barrel pick six is Tyler Conklin, 2,900, Mr. Wilson's number two option over there in New York.
Mr. Wilson, I mean, that guy's not even old enough to grow peach fuzz yet, and you're calling him Mr. Wilson. But Ethan, I guess I'll go to you, man. What do you think about Tyler Conklin for 2,900 this week?
I was actually very excited about Tyler Conklin coming in this year with Aaron Rodgers at the helm. Obviously, Rodgers going down, it killed Conklin. I actually think Conklin could have been a tight end one this year if Rodgers was throwing the rock. But instead, obviously, we have Zach Wilson. But like Aaron said, he has been very efficient. I mean, against the Chargers 2 weeks ago, he caught all six of his targets for 66 yards. And then this past week, he caught all seven of his targets for 70 yards, as Aaron alluded to. So Conklin is emerging as Wilson's number two target because, I mean, Garrett Wilson, he's been, I think, averaging like 14 targets or whatever a game over the last few weeks. So he's got to go to somebody else. And it looks like Tyler Conklin's that guy. So I actually don't hate it at the tight end position where you're almost kind of throwing a dart anyway. So I actually don't hate this call.
I honestly don't hate it either. You know, you're chasing the targets. The Jets actually play the Bills sneaky tough whenever they see him. So I do think they're going to hang around and be competitive in this game. And I like it. I like it a lot actually for especially for 2,900. Like anything, once you start getting into like the 2000s, you're really grasping at straws. And you know, for this those amount of looks at that price point, I don't hate it, especially for a guy who's playing, you know, 2/3 or so of the snaps in recent weeks. But we'll go back to you, Ethan, here. Give me your last pick six player.
So I'm kind of debating between two players. I was going to talk about a tight end, but seeing we just talked about a tight end, Tyler Conklin, I may change things up a little bit. And I think I'm going to talk about Christian Watson of the Green Bay Packers at a whopping $4,600. And this is strictly just a pure upside play in that last flex spot. Christian Watson, he's been seeing a decent amount of targets over the past few weeks. He had seven targets this past week, but he only had two catches. Didn't do much the week before that, and then had eight targets against Minnesota. But I just love the matchup against the LA Chargers here. They've allowed 24 more passing yards on a per-game basis than any other team in the league. And this is about the time Christian Watson kind of broke out last year. So I'm hoping at some point he's going to find that connection with Jordan Love. And I think if the Packers have any chance of winning this game, I think it needs to be this week. Just looking at what Detroit did to the LA Chargers, they put up an absolute ton of points. And I think the Packers are going to be in chuck it mode. And if you're Jordan Love, I think he's going to be looking to Christian Watson quite a bit. And I think Christian Watson, all he needs to do is break one long touchdown catch, and he's pretty much made his day at 4,600. So I know it's kind of a gross call considering Christian Watson only has 14 catches all year, but I think at some point he's going to need to step up to the plate. And I think that time is now. So I went a little off my script, but I just like that matchup against the Chargers. And I think Christian Watson has a chance to have a big boom week.
I like Christian Watson, and I kind of liken him to a little bit like a one of those streaky shooters in basketball where they go through a cold patch and then all of a sudden they hit one and they see the ball go in the net. Then all of a sudden they're like, okay, like I can do this, and they start cooking. And if you remember, this is around the time last season where Christian Watson took off on that 4 or 5 week stretch in 2022 where he was like a top five receiver. Like he was absolutely blowing it up for a short span. So he does have that in his game. He was banged up earlier this year, so maybe he's kind of starting to get over some of that. We'll see where it goes. I like Christian Watson's outlook on the dynasty front, and who knows, you know, for a cheap price point, maybe he gets it going this week. But Ethan chose to talk about a Packers receiver rather than a tight end, but I'm actually going to talk about a tight end who plays for the Green Bay Packers, and I'm going to go with Luke Musgrave against the Chargers for $3,600. Before I dive into him, Ethan, was this the tight end you were thinking about by chance?
It wasn't, but I was very close to putting him into my lineup. I love the matchup that Luke Musgrave has this week. So I already like the call. So I'll let you continue.
He's gonna let me finish. So what a guy. You know, I like the matchup as well here against the LA Chargers, giving up the third most points to opposing tight ends this season. Musgrave himself is coming off back-to-back 50-plus yard receiving performances. And the Packers are kind of tough to watch this year, but if you put the games on, like, there's instances where Musgrave gets open. You know, he's using his athletic ability to win downfield even a little bit more than you think. So I think he's due to find the end zone, and this is the week where he's going to get there. I know Ethan obviously really likes the player. He liked him in the preseason. He just said he likes him now for this week too. So I think he's kind of starting to build a little bit of a foundation for success that he's going to build what I think is going to be a long career off of. And I think a lot of that's going to start in the second half of this season. So Ethan likes it. I like it. Aaron, what do you think about Luke Musgrave for $3,600 in week 11?
Ooh, all right. So let me comment on both real quick since they play for the same team. I guess if I'm going to choose between the two, I do like Musgrave more than Watson this week. I think, like, you know, having the show, you know, going on season three, it's funny. Like, there's some stats like we don't even have to look up anymore, and that's the Chargers defense is not good against tight ends in fantasy, where you know, even if those algorithms get thrown off at times, they have hold Kelce to a low point game. Just they've historically cannot hold tight ends. So I think that's just a good play in its own with Musgrave, and I think we've all talked pretty highly of him this year, that I think he's just a sneaky good player. But I think as far as Watson goes, I think I'd actually still categorize him as a risky player. I think, as you guys mentioned, like, yeah, he definitely came on fire this time last year, but that definitely was with Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball. And I think it was funny, like Aaron Rodgers made that joke, like, all right, you want to keep catching touchdowns, you got to run the right route. So I think, you know, it just shows at times like he doesn't really have that connection with Love and his route running ability. Now, sure, if he can just burn the wheels off the field and just, you know, beat the defender and crank some, you know, long distance plays, I think, you know, that definitely pops off. But I think that's what kind of you're hoping for, but that's not really Love's skill set, at least that we've seen too much this year. Just, you know, those deep throws, they've kind of missed a lot of potential big plays this year. So it's funny, I don't have him in my lineup, but I think Jaden Reed has got kind of been the under the radar guy with the Packers wide receivers, kind of a nice dynasty asset as well, where I think it's funny. It's almost Jaden Reed is kind of getting those routes that are favorable with Love. But I don't know if you got any rebuttal there over that, or if you want to comment on Reed. I know he's not in any of our lineups, but I did think about throwing Reed in there. It's funny we all did go towards Packer receiving core, though.
Yeah, no, Reed obviously had a big game last week with the 19.4 fantasy points. I just think Christian Watson has just so much talent, and it hasn't come to fruition at all yet this season. And I think the LA Chargers give him a chance to kind of get on track. And he's kind of just a lottery ticket. And as I said, in my flex for $4,600, I'm seeing if it pays off. I was going to talk about Trey McBride, just as a little, I guess, bonus player there, just because I think that's going to be a very high-scoring game, and Houston's not very good against the tight end, and Murray was just peppering him this past week. So I thought McBride was a decent tight end play this week, but I decided to talk about Watson instead, just because I think the Packers need to chuck the ball. And as I said, Watson is as good of a lottery ticket as you can get, but unfortunately, with most lottery tickets, you don't get the return you're hoping for.
Sounds like you're buying the wrong lottery tickets, my man.
Hey, tell me where to buy them, dude. I'll buy them.
Yeah, I would never.
You gotta go to a Phillips store. Get a Kyle Phillips store.
I'll get out of here with Kyle Phillips.
Aaron's buying those $1 lottery tickets, I see.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I guess to put a kind of wrap up the conversation around that, the Green Bay pass catchers, the Chargers are at least the team that is capable of scoring points, and their defense is not very good. So I guess regardless here, we're saying attack the Chargers defense this week with the Green Bay guys, even though they're not super sexy. It might even just create a nice little buying opportunity on whichever piece of the Packers passing game that you want to get your hands on and put into your lineup for a low cost this week. But that's enough of the main slate here talk. Each and every week we talk about our Thursday games and our Under the Lights category. So we'll talk about that here, and we'll go to Bengals at Ravens. Baltimore is a 3.5-point favorite in this one. The over-under is currently 46 points in this one. Both teams are coming off brutal losses on Sunday. Baltimore blows a big lead to Cleveland at home. Cincinnati is at home as well. They fight their way back into the game against the Texans, ended up losing on a last-second field goal. Moral of the story here is that both teams are in a tight division race where everyone in the AFC North is over 500 at the moment. So both the Ravens and the Bengals really could use a win in this one. Personally, my thoughts on it very quickly on the game itself. I think the Ravens find a way to win this game outright, and I think they're actually going to cover that 3.5-point spread. Lamar against the Bengals in his career is 6-2 as a starter, and I just think that trend's going to continue in Baltimore this week. The Bengals will – I think they're going to hang in there in this one too, but I think ultimately it's going to be too much Ravens on a quick turnaround here on a Thursday night football game. So, I guess, Ethan, what are your thoughts on this Thursday's contest?
I'd have to agree. The Ravens, I think, are a better football team than the Bengals at this point. The Bengals just lost a tough one at home against Houston, and the Ravens kind of just let one slip this past week, and they had a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter, I believe. And just a wonky pick six and just not closing the door on the Cleveland Browns there. And it was just a devastating loss for the Baltimore Ravens, because they had that one locked up. A divisional loss, just not good. So I think the Ravens are probably pissed off. I think Lamar's looking to bounce back. The Baltimore Ravens are just the better football team, and I think that's going to show on Thursday night. But that's kind of what I'm thinking. So I think I'm in lockstep with you, Kamish.
You know, it's interesting. It's funny. I think I might be the third wheel here again, where I'm kind of thinking Bengals here in this matchup. Now, I think historically, like, Bengals Ravens have traditionally been pretty close. I mean, I think, as you guys mentioned, even in the playoff game last year, Tyler Huntley should have kind of led them to that playoff win if it wasn't for that bonehead goal line play that happened there. But I definitely think, you know, a lot of things going on. Ravens kind of a heartbreaking loss, Bengals heartbreaking loss. So, you know, a lot of must wins games going on just overall in the AFC right now. A lot of great teams just kind of dropping like flies lately. But I do, you know, that 3-point spread kind of alludes to Vegas thing, and it is almost like a pick'em. It's going to be close. I think we all kind of looking forward to the matchup, but you know, I do kind of resort to, you know, if the Ravens are down on teams, like, it was kind of astonishing to see the Browns come back on the Ravens. Ravens are usually better playing with the lead, but if Burrow can get up on Lamar, I think we've seen in his past that he does kind of panic at times. And Ravens sometimes don't come out on top for that reason. So I do, I know with Higgins out, I think we'll get into it here in a little bit, but I think I'm actually can pull for the Bengals as far as betting goes. You know, it's worth taking the upset there, I think, just in the betting world. But it's definitely going to be a good game. This is one of our best Thursday night matchups we've seen for a while here.
Agreed. Yeah, there's not a ton of, as far as points go anyway, there's not a ton of super high scoring games on the slate this week overall. And the 46 point spread here is actually it's the third highest one on the whole slate for week 11 in general. So I think it is going to be one of the better games. Obviously there's the familiarity of a division game, but we'll kind of dive a little further of that into our captain's lineups picks here. So let's do that. So for the Thursday night contests, we do a DraftKings contest where you get to pick one player out of a 6-player lineup to be your captain. That player costs 1.5 times the value of every other player to get put into your captain slot. However, you get 1.5 times the points from the player that you elect as your captain for the matchup here. So Aaron, we'll go just kick the ball right back to you, brother. Like, who do you have as your captain this week and how much do they cost?
Yeah, I was playing around with this one quite a bit and just kind of looking at the odds, as you mentioned, and whatnot. But I ended up deciding on Mark Andrews. So I know I kind of said that kind of in favor of the Bengals to win, but kind of going along with that game script where I think they're going to have to I think it's going to have to be competitive. And as I mentioned, I think when the going gets tough, Lamar does look towards Andrews, and he often gets a lot of targets. And specifically in your DFS lineup, Mark Andrews is like the fourth or fifth most expensive player to get in your lineup. So you know you got Lamar, you got Burrow, you got Chase. Actually, I think Chase is number one this week. I looked at them, but I think I wanted to still get a high performing player in there and then still get Chase, Burrow, Lamar, and I was actually able to do that with this lineup. So I do think that Lamar is going to gravitate towards Andrews in this tight of a matchup, so I think that's a pretty safe play. But also getting a star involved that I wanted in this matchup, and along with the other high performing guys. So I actually went Mark Andrews this week, even though I'm kind of more on the Bengals side of the game.
Aaron, I blasted your defense. I was a little lost in the woods on your pick 6 players, but I'm actually coming around on your captain's lineup pick here. I'm also rolling with Mark Andrews for the reasons that you mentioned. The 31st ranked defense on the other side against tight ends has me licking my chops to get Andrews in the lineup. He's produced against Cincinnati in the past as well, at least 15 plus PPR points in each of his last 3 meetings with the Bengals. I don't see an overly complex game plan here. On a Thursday night with a quick turnaround. And I think they kind of need to get Lamar going a little bit here. And what better way to do that than utilizing his favorite weapon in Mark Andrews? In this spot, I just rather bank on that than go with the kind of the lottery ticket at wide receiver in that Ravens wide receiver room and try to pick up the guy who's going to go off this week. I feel a little bit better about Mark Andrews based on his pedigree and his price for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned. I am in lockstep with him this week as my captain here. Ethan, are we going 3 for 3 on this one?
We are going 3 for 3, and you guys made,
let's go.
You guys made a lot of my points for me. To Pat's point, I'm not going to try to pick what receiver is going to go off. I think that's a harder thing to do than it's bargained for. And Mark Andrews has the best position, the best matchup of any other position in this Thursday night slate. As you alluded to, the Bengals just aren't very good against the tight end position. And it's exactly why I picked Dalton Schultz as one of my pick 6 players last week. The Bengals just can't stop the tight end position. And 2 other high-flying tight ends went completely off against this Bengals defense this year already. We had Kittle, who had 9 catches, 449 yards. And we had Kincaid, who had 10 catches for 81 yards. So I think Mark Andrews gets peppered. I think he has a big day. And I think he is the safest matchup to bet on this week.
All right. I think we're going to have some prop bets on Mark Andrews this Thursday. I can say that with at least confidence, at least coming from Ethan and I. Aaron, I'm sure you jump on the bandwagon on those two. In fact, I know you are. You're big in the Discord chat on those Thursday nights specifically too. So put Mark Andrews on your bet slip. Put him in your lineup in daily. If you got him in redraft or dynasty, just do the smart thing and put him in your lineup as well. And as always here, we close with hot takes for this week. And I'll just give it to you, Aaron. What do you think here? Give me something spicy. I mean, you've already thrown us two curveballs already here with the kind of throwing the listeners for a little bit of a loop. But what do you consider hot here after those call-ups?
I know, that's funny. I might have to sprinkle. I'm gonna adjust on the fly a little bit. It's spicing it up a little bit. But I originally was going to call out Monty. You know, I didn't know you were going to call out Gibbs this week. So I actually had Monty scoring two touchdowns. I do like that prop bet, if you can guess. Any player, you know, I know anytime touchdown's tough to do, but if you can get the two touchdown, that's usually about a plus 400 odds, where that's always fun to throw in it on your bet slip. But actually, it would be fun to sprinkle in a little Kyle Phillips action this week. It's funny, I brought him up because I was actually looking into him last week. I just didn't tell anybody, but I did actually throw some bets with Kyle Phillips last week, hitting his overs, and he was easily, his catches was 1.5 receptions and I think only 19 yards. So he crushed that last week with 60 yards. So you'll probably see some Discord in there, but I'll say, let's go two for two, get the Kyle Phillips plus 60 yards again, as a prop bet. And I don't know if we'll go as ballsy as an anytime touchdown, but I guess in this hot take section, I'll say let's same game parlay it as 60 yards receiving and getting that touchdown this week with Mr. Phillips.
I knew you were going to get to the same game parlay, Mr. Parlay All Day, Parlay All Night t-shirt. If you want to get your hands on a Parlay All Day, Parlay All Night t-shirt, we sell them on our website. That's at sundaysurefire.com. Check out our merchandise section on there and grab a t-shirt. Definitely worth the investment there. Ethan, what do you think about that hot take? And then what do you got for us this week for your week 11 scorcher of a take?
I actually like the Montgomery hot take quite a bit. I was actually going to talk about Montgomery in my hot take, so I may go off in a different direction really quick just to kind of sprinkle a little something different. But to piggyback on the Montgomery hot take, my hot take with Montgomery is going to be he outscores Jahmyr Gibbs this week. And then I'll piggyback on my bullish buy. I think Brandon Ayuk goes over 130 this week and a touchdown. So big week for Ayuk. And I think a big week for Montgomery, because I think if he scores two touchdowns like Aaron is projecting, I think he does outscore Gibbs. So Montgomery to outscore Gibbs, and then Ayuk 130 and a tutty.
And the Kyle Phillips touchdown you forgot to say.
No, I ignored that one completely.
Ethan's not staking his reputation on a Kyle Phillips touchdown. That's safe to say. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. I mean, the IU call is a big one. I like that one. That's definitely a hot take. Swift Montgomery actually had a lot of ranked sites this week, are actually ranked pretty much back to back, or they're both back end RB1s for this week. So that in itself is not super hot, but when you combine it with the IU piece of it, definitely qualifies for a good hot take in my book. So I'll keep it moving here with my hot take to close this out for the night. My last two hot takes actually have involved the Las Vegas Raiders. 2 weeks ago, my hot take came through. Last week, Jacobs came up a little bit short on hitting off for going 2 weeks in a row. But I'm actually going back to the Raiders here for the third week in a row involving a hot take. But this time, I'm actually going to be going against them in a big way. They're currently getting 11 points on the road against Miami this week. And I'm telling you now that you can go ahead and tease that line all the way up to 20.5. And the Dolphins are still going to cover this game at that big number of a spread. I just think I just look at Miami as the number one passing team in the league, both in terms of yards and TDs through the air. And I don't really care about what the numbers say about the Raiders defense. I mean, yeah, they're like slightly better than average against the pass, but I don't care about that because they've been massively inflated by playing the likes of Denver, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, New England, Chicago, the Jets, and the Giants. That's seven teams in the bottom half of the league in offensive points per game, and five of those seven opponents are in the bottom seven of the league in scoring this year. So they played a bunch of crap so far in their schedule. And just beyond the matchup itself against the Raiders, who haven't played anyone good, versus a high-flying Miami offense, it just kind of feels like the deck is stacked against the Raiders this week. They have to travel across country to get to Miami, whereas the Dolphins are coming off of a bye week, and they're actually coming off a loss against Aaron's Kansas City Chiefs too. So they should be plenty motivated here with an opportunity to really take a stranglehold in the AFC East here with a win in this one. And I just see them coming out guns blazing and just burying the Raiders by three touchdowns in week 11 here. So I guess we'll close out here with your thoughts on my hot take here, fellas.
I like it. Yeah. I like the Dolphins kind of just coming back red hot, especially after the bye. And the Raiders, I think, as you said, I mean, it's they beat up offenses that are poor offenses, as you said. So yeah, Crosby can get to the quarterback against some of those teams, but I think with Tua, that passing offense, and actually the Dolphins' offensive line is also top 10 in the league as well. So I think I do think the Dolphins are going to score and score it well too. So I like that take, especially teasing it up to 19, 20 points. That should look pretty good on your bet slip as well.
Yeah, the Raiders have been playing actually some pretty decent ball the last couple of weeks. So that is a pretty hot take. What do you say, 20 and a half?
Yep, they're going to cover a 20 and a half point spread. They're going to win this game by at least three touchdowns.
That's bold. I don't think that happens, but hey, we'll see. We'll see if it does. I mean, like I said, I feel like the Raiders have a little more life in them after McDaniels was let go. But obviously, with the high-flying Miami Dolphins, they can put up points at will, and the Vegas Raiders aren't very good. So definitely possible outcome in that ball game.
Yeah, I mean, they have been playing pretty well, the Raiders. I've kind of been on them, too, the last couple of weeks here. I bet on them to win on Monday night or Sunday night. And I remember my hot take hit. I told you they were going to beat the Giants by double digits, but they ain't seeing the Giants this week, that's for sure. I think the sugar high of the Antonio Pierce being named interim head coach is over, and Miami's going to remind the Raiders that they're just not a very good football team for a reason. But that's what we got here for a show for you folks in week 11. Again, make sure you're checking us out on all of our social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, X. We're all up there, folks. Check us out on Discord too. The links are in our social media outlets. And until next time, folks, peace.